Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Stephen St. John in studio with Jay Gutierrez. Nate Bucati is down in the 810 hot box, the Sports Radio 810 broadcast booth across from T-Mobile Center, right at the entrance of Miller Lite Fan Fest. Day two of the men's tournament. A full day of basketball. That's what you're looking for. A nice full day of basketball. Mixed in with some more NFL free agency. NFL teams must be cap compliant today. So expect some more moves, a flurry of moves to get everyone under the cap. And so it should be another wild and exciting day in the sports world right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Today on the show, we are going to have Mike Boddicker in studio. Thankfully, he's bringing me some oatmeal because I forgot mine. And so Mike Boddicker for the win. Oh, thank God. I got my oatmeal, man. My oatmeal mixed with coffee. Yeah, I'm not, what would you call it? I'm a couple sandwiches short of a picnic today.
Less than 100.
Yeah. I'm just dragging, man. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Oatmeal can do the trick. But, Mike Boddicker will come in and save the day. Also, we'll talk to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. He'll be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. And also, Jarrett Sutton will talk college basketball with us in the 9 o'clock hour. So we got lots of stuff to talk about, including the Big 12 tournament. Tonight will be a big night with K-State and KU. In action last night in the Big 12 Women's Championship game, Texas beat Iowa State 70-53. So Texas,
it's the Big 12!
Texas goes out on top and wins the Big 12 Women's Tournament. So not good for the Iowa State fans. I'm sure the Big 12 is not happy that Texas wins that. So now we move on, and we focus on the first full day of the men's tournament, which that's why Nate Bucati's down there at the Miller Lite Fan Fest. And so it'll be full days today and tomorrow with the new format, with the expanded format of the Big 12 tournament. And so the lineup for today, after yesterday, UCF put it on Oklahoma State 77-62, and Cincy beats West Virginia 90-85. And so today's matchups for you, the opener. By the way, I'm sorry, Nate Bucati, are you there? I forgot to check in with Nate.
I'm here, buddy. How are
I'm
you?
I'm all over the place. I don't know. How are you?
You sound like you're ready to. You've got Big 12 tournament fever going right
it's
now.
It's the Big 12.
I better not have any fever. Is that what I got?
I don't know.
I got
something.
Yeah, I got go back to bed fever.
Uh-oh.
You know, I don't have a fever. You know, unless it's a fever for the flavor of her Pringles or something like that. But
fever for some Fan Fest.
I might have baseball fever.
Okay.
A little bit. Getting close.
Yeah, spring fever.
NFL free agency fever.
Yeah.
But today's lineup, 11:30 a.m., UCF and BYU. 2 o'clock, we'll have Oklahoma and TCU. Then we'll turn it up a notch for the 6 o'clock matchup between K-State and Texas. And then at 8:30, Cincinnati, fresh off their win against West Virginia, will take on Kansas.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
That's right. I'll take that. I'll take some more cowbell. And the little debate, the little argument that Nate and Jake had about whether or not Kansas would be underdogs against Cincinnati. Oh, boy, Jake's rolling his sleeves up. He's ready to dig into this. I'm looking right now, according to ESPN.com, Cincinnati, the big bad daddy from Cincinnati, 2.5-point favorites over Kansas.
Huh. You don't say.
Wow.
Hey, even Vegas gets it wrong once in a while.
Wow.
Good, let's go. Let's have it, Jake.
It's a free money Wednesday.
BYU's favored by 5.5. TCU's favored by 2.5. Texas is favored by 4.5. Cincy favored by 2.5.
Ball's in your court, Nate. I threw an offer out there for you.
Clearly you're surprised by this, Jake, right?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, what's the point? I mean, it opened up at -1 for Cincinnati. I saw that last night, and I was like, oh, okay. And then the fact that the line's moved means money has gone on Cincinnati, and rightfully so, I suppose. I mean, Kansas's two biggest stars, their studs, are both out. Kevin McCullough, you know, and Dickinson are both out. So I get it, but I still... I don't know. I'll take the starting five of Kansas and Bill Self against Cincinnati in Kansas City.
Jake, did you hear the starting five that Bill Self said he was going to play in that intro that you put together?
I did. I'm fine with it. You know, he didn't mention Harris, right? We know that Harris is starting. But Furphy, Harris, KJ, I'll roll with those guys against Cincinnati with a Bill Self-led team. I mean, they're going to have a chip on their shoulder.
I hope. Hey, look, it's only a 2.5-point spread. I mean, it's not like they're ruled out of the game. It's, you know, it's not a 10-point spread or something like that.
No. I think Kansas wins tonight. And I'm doubling down.
I hope you're right.
That's a
man.
Big shock. You think that? I mean, look.
Are you surprised?
Here's the deal. I mean, it's. I mean, we could either have a Thursday night that could be out of sight at the Big 12 tournament. I mean, we could end up having. I mean, think about this. You could end up having K-State and Iowa State. And Kansas and Baylor in the evening session. You could end up having Kansas State, and Iowa State all playing tomorrow night.
Yes, sir.
Or you could have Texas and Iowa State and Cincinnati and Baylor. I mean, either way, Iowa State will bring it.
Right.
But that's a big swing right there. That's a big difference in atmosphere and excitement and everything else.
How much money will be spent in the downtown area?
Because I don't know how much it matters whether UCF or BYU wins and takes on Texas Tech. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much it matters whether it's Oklahoma or TCU that takes on Houston. It might be fun to see Oklahoma. You know, get another crack at Kelvin Sampson. And that was a really great finish when Jamal Shedd got the offensive rebound and got the putback to win in Norman. So, I mean, that could be fun. I think, I don't know. Yeah. Probably rather see that storyline.
Yep.
We all would.
Probably slightly more Oklahoma fans than TCU right. fans around here.
But then you think about, you know, Iowa State versus Texas, that'll still be a great atmosphere for Iowa State fans, but that could be Iowa State, K-State, and then Kansas-Baylor would have significant more juice than Cincy and Baylor. Which that I don't know how much juice that would have. Would that have any juice at all?
Be a pretty dry
Baylor.
Sweet.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And look, and hey, K-State and KU are both underdogs tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's.
I have a pretty good feeling that K-State's going to win. But. I mean, I don't know if Bill Self's just playing it up or not, but they were laughing about the lineup as they talked about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But and then look, maybe for the NCAA tournament chances, it might be better just to have a quick exit and get everyone rested and healthy and see you in the first round of the NCAA tournament, right? No team will ever admit that, but, you know.
Well, I guess I'll say if you're not going to play Dickinson and Hunter at all during this Big 12 tournament, might as well get as many games
or
for
McCullough.
These other guys. What's that?
You said Hunter and Dickinson.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, you're not going to play either one of those guys.
Yeah, you're not going to play.
He's so tall, he's two people.
You're not going to play either one of them.
He's two of me.
McCullough.
Yeah, McCullough and Dickinson. If you're not going to play them this tournament, you might as well play as many games as you can with these other guys and let them get some experience and let them grow as players. So I think if you're KU, you want to win these games, but it's a tall order, pun intended, because you don't have any tall players. And because, you know, in the past, KU's gone with – They went small a lot last year with KJ playing center. He played center a lot more last year than he has this year, but they had bigger players. You know, Grady Dick was like, Dick was big. He
right.
was like 6 foot eight, you know. Their guards this year are not that big. So if you get smaller at the big spots on the court, then you're small across the board. And so,
Dick,
I mean,
Dick.
There's a reason they're 2.5-point favorites to a not-so-impressive Cincinnati team in this game. And you're right. You're right to a certain extent, Jake. It's Bill Self and it's Kansas. I'll be interested to see what kind of crowd the KU fans bring tonight. I would assume it'll still be good because it's a chance to watch your team play in Kansas City. But I don't think it'll be as good as it normally is because KU fans are used to walking in here thinking they're going to win the tournament. And now they're walking in here wondering if they're going to win a game. It's wild.
Play the little clip I sent you from CBS Sports' John Rothstein. He was talking about Cincinnati now having a door open. And look, that's a team that was. I mean, they're on the outside looking in. I don't know. Do they need to win the whole tournament to get into the NCAA tournament? But now that they get past West Virginia. I mean, it looks a lot more reasonable now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're favored against a Kansas team that you probably wouldn't have a shot to beat. Here's John Rothstein on CBS Sports College Basketball talking about Cincy.
On to the Big 12, and what did you glean from the happenings in Kansas City?
Cincinnati now has the door open to make a run in this tournament. Kansas is vulnerable. They also play Baylor very tough in Waco. Cincinnati wins tomorrow. They could have an opportunity to start making some noise in Kansas City.
Bearcats were down by 16 in the second half of that game. Climbed back to beat West Virginia.
So there you go. Echoing your sentiments, doors open. Kansas is vulnerable.
It's... Kansas has been vulnerable even with McCullough and Dickinson this year. Now, part of that might be because McCullough hasn't been the full Kevin McCullough. He's been dealing with this knee injury, and I think it's limited him when he has played. But they've been limited with those guys. Without them, remember you asked this earlier, just a week ago or so, if Dickinson's been a bit of a disappointment for KU because of the way the season's turned out. And Jake's response, what was your response, Jake? Where would they be without him?
Right.
Well, we're about to find out.
Where would they be without him?
I
probably the bottom of this league.
I don't know. They'd
the
be a tournament
third.
Team.
I don't think they'd have a winning record probably in the Big 12.
I mean, because they barely had one as it is, right?
Right.
It is. I've had a really difficult time getting my head around this season for Kansas because we're just the consistency, the level of consistency under Bill Self has been ridiculous to the point where you don't even think it's ridiculous. You just assume every year Kansas is going to be in contention for the Big 12. They were number one in the country to start the season. And here we are talking about a first round, like them being underdogs in the first round of the full Big 12 tournament against a team that's got a sub 500 record in the Big 12. It is a circumstance that we just have not seen since the history of the Big 12.
All right, something. Let's talk about some good stuff now. Let's talk about the headliner, and his name is Patrick Mahomes. Yesterday, we find out, as Adam Schefter reported, that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs would be restructuring his contract to create an additional $21.6 million worth of salary cap space for the Chiefs.
That is awesome.
Now, what will they do with it? What will they do with it? You heard some comments in the opener from Jake that he put together from Legarius Sneed, who was in town for an event with Big Brothers Big Sisters Kansas City, our good friends at Big Brothers Big Sisters, and he's been heavily involved with them. And he talked about hoping that he stays in Kansas City and wanting to stay in Kansas City. And so, again, with the structure of Chris Jones' contract, with the restructuring of Patrick Mahomes' contract, it's possible. Okay? And so, right now, we don't know if the Chiefs simply will be using this as leverage against teams that are offering for Legarius Sneed, because if the Chiefs were, you know, like I said, they have to be cap compliant today. If they had their backs up against the wall and they had to trade Sneed to become cap compliant, there's no leverage there. Teams know they have to move on from Sneed. They don't have to move on from Sneed right now. If they don't want to, if Brett Veach and the Chiefs don't get a deal to their liking, they can just keep Sneed and either play the season with him on the franchise tag or figure out an extension. And so that's number one. We don't know. And maybe they don't know. Who knows? Maybe they're waiting until they're wowed with an offer. Maybe they have something in their mind. Okay, this is what it'll take for us to trade Legarius Sneed, or we'll just keep one of the best corners in football. We're not going to be, you know, backed into a corner. We're not going to be pushed to do something that we don't want to do, that we don't feel comfortable doing. And that's smart business. And so they're not between a rock and a hard place. They are in a situation now where they can play. They can keep Sneed moving forward, play with Sneed, or they can trade him for a deal that makes sense for them. And that's where you want this. All right? And so here are the two outcomes here with Legarius Sneed. Either they keep him and at least for one more season have a great chance to keep this defense elite with a Trent McDuffie who could be even better, with a returning Chris Jones, a returning Jude Tranquil, a returning Legarius Sneed. You get Brian Cook back in the secondary. Hopefully, King Felix will take big steps forward in his second year after being drafted in the first round by the Chiefs. They have other young ascending corners. You have a George Karlaftis who's getting better. You keep Sneed. And look, hey, they can be a really good defense without Sneed. But if they keep him, they have a chance to remain elite. So that's one outcome. And let me tell you, that's not going to hurt my feelings at all. That would be great if they could keep both Jones and Snead. The other outcome is they get the kind of trade offer that they want, and then they create a real good amount of cap space, and they add draft capital. And there's every reason to believe that would be an exciting outcome. Because then you can go out and look, some if I've heard people say, well, what's left of free agency? A lot. A hell of a lot. All right? You can do a lot of good work right now filling some holes in free agency and getting some bargains and getting some good deals. And then, of course, if you add draft capital, you've seen what the Chiefs can do the last couple of years in the draft. And so if whatever your preference is, I'm not going to sit here and argue that you're wrong. Because the Chiefs have put themselves in a situation right now where it could be a positive outcome either way, with or without Snead. If you want to play some more clips from LJ when we come back, we'll play some Snead. Jake can hear from him. Chris Jones spoke also yesterday on Zoom about his new deal. But, and again, I know like Nate, I know your desire is to trade Snead and get draft capital. Jake, what do you want? What do you want? Because either is possible right now.
I'm kind of split. I think if I had to choose, I would like to see the Chiefs get something for him. But versus keeping him? Yeah,
I mean, they're going to get something for him if they trade him.
Right, right. So initially I was like, let's get as much as possible for him. And now as this is dragging on, look, I saw the Deontay Johnson trade yesterday with the Carolina Panthers. They got a cornerback. They sent a cornerback to the Steelers. They switched to 6th and a 7th.
A corner by all reports that they were going to cut.
Right. I was a little bit disappointed. Like, a move like that, like if you can go get an established wide receiver and you're going to upgrade your receiver and get a draft pick, that would be sweet. I would have been okay with that deal if the Chiefs would have made that deal with, you know, maybe a 5th instead of a 6th coming this way. But, I don't know. They could be in the same situation next year too, though, if they keep him. Which, you know, they could literally put another tag on him and then trade him next year.
Are you telling me the same situation? Meaning they're the defending Super Bowl champs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that supposed to scare me?
I'm saying that as a positive.
Okay.
I'm saying, like, thinking about that is making me less likely to want to move off him.
You know, Stephen, I just to amend my situation. I don't – if they can afford to keep him the way that it looks like they can now, I don't trade him unless I get something really good in return.
They can afford to keep him if they want to. That's –
yeah.
Now, yeah.
Okay.
And so to me, like you said, do I want them to trade him? The answer now is it depends. You know, what are you offering? They need to get something really good in return. And I think that's awesome because they're dealing from a position of strength now. They don't have to take because the way we were negotiating in the past was, well, this is your best option, and otherwise this could be hard to fit him on the roster. And now it's like, oh, no, if your offer is a late second round pick and that's it, take it or leave it, I'd probably say leave it. I'll keep L'Jarius Sneed.
It's a second round pick, and then what you do with the money that right now.
Right.
Is being taken up by his franchise tag.
If a second-round pick is coming the Chiefs' way, I would probably take it, especially if it's at the top half of that second round.
Yeah, that's why I said late. A late second-round pick isn't good enough for me. I want a little bit more.
What about right in the middle? What if it's, you know,
yeah, that's
45, 50?
Probably starting to talk. But I think, you know, the reports are that there are multiple teams interested, right?
Titans being one of them.
So Aaron Wilson, who's been on the show many times, covers the Texans, also covers the NFL, usually has really good information. Tweeted out late last night, Chiefs franchise player and lockdown corner L'Jarius Sneed is drawing interest from multiple NFL teams, including the Titans, in active trade scenarios, per league sources. No firm offer yet, but dialogue remains active in fluid situation.
if you get multiple teams bidding for his services and you don't have to trade him, you know, I think you can get something pretty good. We'll see.
Jake?
Yeah. I mean, they're in a position of power right now. And that's where you want to be. I was a little worried about how is this going to hamstring them going into free agency. I mean, because right now, I still think left tackle is an absolute priority. So, if moving off Snead, getting a second, and then going out and getting a left tackle, or using that draft pick to move up and getting a stud tackle, I still think that is the priority, in my opinion, for the Chiefs.
By the way, the Titans have their first-round pick, number 7, second-round pick, number 38, no third-round pick, fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick, sixth-round pick, and then 3 7s.
That 38th pick.
So number 38.
Nice and tasty.
Number 38,
yeah,
is what they have.
That was coming across the table, I would shake hands and say accept.
There was one reporter that said the Titans are offering a third-round pick to the Chiefs, and everyone's like, really? Tell us more about this, sir.
I think, Brett, you should be skeptical of that. I don't think you should just...
No, they are not.
Incorrect. Yeah, we'll give you a third-round pick. Yeah.
What year?
Don't worry about that.
Right. And by the way, I also sent you the clip that Nick Jacobs posted of Mike Garofalo talking about the Deontay Johnson trade and how it related to the Chiefs. And so, Jake, you can't really feel bad about something that wasn't available to Kansas City. Because according to Mike Garofalo, they weren't trading him to the Chiefs. And we need to remember this. You know, it takes two to tango. And this is something else we really haven't discussed too much. Teams, especially in the AFC, are going to be falling over themselves to help Kansas City. They are sick of Kansas City. They are tired of the Chiefs winning. So listen to what Mike Garofalo said on NFL Network about the Deontay Johnson trade.
Situation, Mike.
Yeah, it was made clear to the rest of the league, basically, that Deontay Johnson was going to be available. He had permission, his agent did, Brad Sakala, recently, to go seek a trade. They talked to a few teams. The Kansas City Chiefs, they had conversations with them at some point, but it didn't seem like they were going to trade him within the AFC to a contender, if possible. So sending him to the NFC, to the Carolina Panthers, who have been looking to add receivers via a trade since...
What really tickles me about that... Pittsburgh, do you really think that's what's going to push the Chiefs over the top against you, Deontay Johnson? You are not in the Chiefs universe.
They got Russell Wilson now.
Okay. You need to worry about winning a playoff game for the first time in a long time. And I get it. They're just like, we're not helping the Chiefs. But, I mean, you're not really part of this club here. Now, if you tell me Buffalo, Cincinnati, we're not helping the Chiefs. Someone in the AFC West, no, we're not helping the Chiefs. Okay. Pittsburgh, you need to focus on making yourself better. Go make the best trade possible. And don't worry about, hate to be dismissive of the Steelers, but you don't need to worry about catching the Chiefs. Not happening, okay? Sorry. But to each their own. Am I wrong? I mean, is it?
No, you ought to be just worried about getting better.
Right. That's exactly right. At this point, when you're a team that's fighting to stay above water in your own division, And I get, like, if the Steelers said, no, we're not trading him in the division. We're not going to help the Ravens. We're not trading. Okay, that makes sense. But outside of that, just get the best deal possible. Like, if they turn down a better deal from the Chiefs, that's dumb. But whatever. Great. So, there you go.
should be a being the bad guy. It's fun being the bad guy that everybody, you know, that everybody is sick of because you just keep winning.
Should be a real interesting day around the league. So, but Chiefs are in a good spot right now. We'll see what they do with the cap room. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Yeah, I know some hail hit part of our listening audience yesterday. And if you were in that area, if you had hail hit your home or business, call my friends at WeatherTech Renovations. One quick call and a free inspection can protect your home or business. 816-988-8957. 816-988-8957. Online, WTRenovations.com. So if you think you got it, you don't know. You can't get up there on your own. You don't want to fall down. You don't know what you're looking for, do you? They do. All you got to do is call, and you can set up a free inspection. And they will be honest with you, and they'll tell you if you have any damage from the hail. There was a ping pong ball size hail in some spots out around Lee Summit area, I think. So if that's you, call WeatherTech Renovations, 816-988-8957, and tell them Stephen St. John sent you. You need that free inspection. See, we're looking out for you. Skip Bayless said that the Ravens won the Super Bowl yesterday by signing Derrick Henry. He also had a tweet that said "All in my ass," and a lot of people were confused by that, not knowing what he was talking about. Although it was the most important comma in social media history, so. It was all in, comma, my ass, but...
It's a good thing he remembered that.
Right. So. Right.
Commas do matter, people.
Does Derrick Henry to Baltimore scare you at all?
No.
Someone posted... someone posted... That was great. I don't know who... who's going to stop these two? Who's going to stop this duo? And it's Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, and people would repost it. You know, who's going to stop these two? Third down. Who's going to stop these two? A 7-point deficit. Who's going to stop these two? The offensive coordinator. Who's going to stop these two? The playoffs. Like, okay.
That was my first thought. Was pretty good. Playoffs, that'll stop them.
I think my favorite one was third down.
Yeah.
Or a 7-point deficit. That might have been the best. I think that's the best one. Who's going to stop these two? A 7-point deficit. All right. Hey,
it'll be impressive in the regular season to watch.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
It will be. You know.
My first thought was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. It's several options there. Who's going to stop these two? You know. All right, let's hear from Legarius Sneed, who was at an event for Big Brothers Big Sisters, where he's done a lot of good work. Remember, he's been very good in the community, good guy on the field and off the field. And he was spotted at a gas station. Near where Bannister Mall used to be. And so a lot of excited fans. He's staying. He's here. But he was in town for the event with Big Brothers Big Sisters. And he was asked if doing these appearances in Kansas City means he might be staying in KC.
I hope so, man. I hope so. I want to, though.
Two Super Bowl championships. What does it mean if you got a third one? What would that mean for your career and for the Kansas City?
Oh, man, it's legendary. Two is legendary, but three, you know, you never get tired of getting rings. You know, pretty much get to do with the three people.
Legere, what's your life like right now? You're kind of in limbo, and you're panicked, you just kind of wait by the phone? What do you
do? My life is kind of, it's fun, but it's very stressful right now, too. I don't get sleep at night. I have a kid. kid, a newborn. I don't get sleep. I got the free agency. You know, it's a lot going on, but, you know, I'm taking it all in at one time.
So what do you hope happens come July, mid-July, whenever you hope for that long-term deal?
Oh, man, hopefully I'm with the Chiefs. You know, hopefully I'm still here. Hopefully we go back and repeat.
All right, that was L'Jarius Sneed. We will take a break back after this on WHB. All right, let's. We got Mike Bowderker in the studio who just brought me oatmeal. Thank you, Mike. Mm-hmm. Chris Jones is seen in Kansas City. Well, I'll tell you what, before we play a clip from Chris Jones, anyone surprised that Willie Gay only signs for 1 year with the Saints, a 1 year contract in a deal that could be worth up to $5 million? Did that surprise anyone?
Yeah. Surprised me. I mean, yeah. couldn't the Chiefs have kept him for that?
Well, if they wanted to, they could have.
Yeah. That's. I would have thought they would have wanted to keep him for that amount of money.
Or
I honestly thought he was going to get more money than Drew Tranquil.
Or, okay, so let's try to
parse this out.
Right. He's been tweeting since before the season was over that he was gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's either he was told or that's just what his plans were. I'm going to go back to the tweet that he made yesterday before he signed this deal. I never try to defend myself on social media, LOL, but I have to say to all fans, please don't judge my talent based on the 20 to 25 plays a game I played last year, LOL. Getting a feel for the game and momentum is real. So what do you say about that?
I think that he has always had a difficult time understanding all of the responsibilities in a complex Spags run defense, and that's why he struggled to get on the field for the first couple years of his career. But I thought that maybe, I mean, considering how much playing time he's been getting this year, that he finally had figured those things out and did understand how to play the position. I don't think his athleticism or his physicality was ever in question. But, yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder, you know, I assumed when he would send those tweets out about, well, you know, it's my last year here and stuff, it's more like he knew he was going to go get paid, and the Chiefs were like, look, man, we love you, but we can't afford to keep you because we got to keep all these other guys, so, you know, this is probably going to be it. But, damn, with what he just got, either he misread the market and he got a lot less than he thought and painted himself into the corner where he had to leave, or the Chiefs were just like, yeah, you know, thanks for your service, but we're good. We can find somebody as good as you for, you know, a similar amount of money. Obviously, like, we all agree that Drew Tranquil is probably a better player, but I still think they need a good player at that position. You know, injuries happen. They needed both Willie Gay and Drew Tranquil this year. So I do think the Chiefs got to replace him, don't they? They got to find, whether it's in the draft or in free agency, they've got to find somebody to help with the depth at that position now, don't they?
I'm looking at the snap numbers for Willie Gay. 47, 39, 21, 45, 51, 36, 33, 29, 25, 46, 38, 57, 59, 30, 32, 36. And then in the playoffs, remember, he got hurt. And so 23 against the Dolphins, 11 against the Buffalo, nothing against Baltimore, and then in the Super Bowl, 39. I mean, just by the tweet alone, he wasn't happy with the amount of snaps he was getting.
Right. Well,
and it's clear that, I mean, as I told you, Drew Tranquil was a priority.
And maybe he feels like if I go somewhere else on a one-year deal and get to play all of the snaps.
He's betting on himself.
Yeah, I can prove my worth, and then I can get the real contract after that. So I respect that.
Well, who just did that last year?
Drew Tranquil.
There you go. Now you're talking. Now you're figuring things out over there.
You walked me through that step by step. Right. I like the way you did that. Thank you. Me discover the answers instead of just spoon feeding them to me.
Right. I'm not going to spoon feed you.
Well,
no matter how much you want me to.
Is Boddicker going to spoon feed you that oatmeal that he brought you?
Maybe.
If he asks, I will.
Thank you.
Baby bird.
Thank you. Also, as Jordan Schultz pointed out, Willie Gay is reuniting with his college defensive coordinator, Todd Grantham, with the Saints. See?
It's a big comfort level there.
But you see how this, you know, this...
That makes sense.
How it comes together, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Trust them and, you know...
And he's going down there with a couple of former teammates and Colin Saunders and Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah.
Again, adding to the comfort level.
I wish Willie Gay nothing but success.
I root for him to succeed.
Absolutely.
I root for him to have a hell of a year
and
to go get the contract that he wants next year.
100%.
I will miss asking him questions.
Yeah, that's I feel bad about that. I feel bad about losing that. You know? So, I mean, I got nothing bad to say about Willie Gay, but I see what he's doing. You look at the tweet, wasn't happy with the snaps. Wants to go somewhere where he thinks he can be utilized in his mind properly. Bet on himself. Go with a defensive coordinator that he's comfortable with. A couple of ex-teammates to bring him down there. And they're excited about him. You know, Tyrann Mathieu and Colin Saunders, they know what his upside is. And so maybe somewhere else they use him differently and he gets the playing time he wants and the contract he wants.
Yeah, maybe the Chiefs did offer him something that said your playing time is going to be you have the same role as you did last year. And he
or
said
maybe no. Even less.
I would say that tweet's not nothing. You
right.
have to.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, he'll always be the guy that is responsible for pissing off half this country by getting Kansas City into swag surfing. You know.
Right.
So respect for that. That alone.
But I do think he will be missed in the locker room. You know?
Yeah.
He'll certainly be missed by me. Because he'd always talk, and it was clear that he, for one reason or another, he just wasn't fond of Nate. So I don't know what it was.
There's a lot of people out there like that.
He'd like to give us good answers.
I don't know. I just don't know that his demeanor just changed when you ask him a question. So no. Maybe he wasn't a soccer guy. I don't know. Whatever it was.
Maybe it's my punchable face. That does it sometimes.
It's like the cut of your jib or something. I don't know. Do you think you have a punchable face? Has someone told you
that? I've been told that by people.
Who? Who told you that?
Okay. I'll fess up.
That's not nice.
All right.
I didn't say it's not true, but it's not nice.
All right, then. On that note, we'll take a break. Back into this on WHB.